Soul podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
And we started by talking to you about the greatest opportunity. When you have the greatest obstacles, you find the greatest opportunities. We talked about the volcano in Manila, the fires in Australia, the coronavirus, the spread of the virus, the tornado in Nashville, and even the earthquake in Bali, Indonesia. And it all happened within the first 2 months of the year. So you start wondering, what's the rest of this year going to look like? Well, let me tell you what it will look like. It most probably will be an economic setback. And so the question is, what is God doing in the midst of all of this? Hebrews chapter 12, 26, which is where we began, we said at that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised. And the promise is that once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The point is that God promises, if it is a promise, it's a promise that we don't necessarily like, that he will shake what can be shaken. And here's the reason why. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. If there is shaking in your life and you're being shaken, it's probably because that thing can be shaken, that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. Essentially, God's removing that so that you will have stability, and that is his promise, and that is his joy and his goal in your life. We went to the series of Joseph, and we said that shaking can break you, or it can become your breakthrough. We looked at the differences of where he was. He was his father's favorite, and he journeyed through, he was sold as a slave. And then he went and lost the favor of man and went to Potiphar's house and experienced the favor of God. And then Potiphar's wife frames him, and God shakes the fear of man out of him and teaches him the fear of God. He lands in prison and experiences the favor again of God through the warden. He meets the cupbearer. He interprets his dream. A divine delay happens of 2 years, and God was shaking impatience out of our man so that he can learn that there is something greater for him. And Pharaoh has a dream. The cupbearer remembers. God reminds him. Joseph begins to meditate and keep the faith, and then journeys into the palace of the Pharaoh and interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And as we've said, headed for a journey of destiny. We talked about the shaking of the favor of man, switching into the favor of God. This is one of the wings of this plane. We talked about the fear of man and the fear of God. We talked about how God removed impatience and replaced it with faith, the fuel necessary to take him to this journey, to break through into his destiny. And now we arrive at chapter 41. And I fasten your seatbelts, guys, because we're going to cover about four chapters here in about the next 25 minutes. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without the word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt. He says, I'm Pharaoh, but gosh, the power of this young man is no one can do anything or lift a hand or move a foot in all of Egypt. Now that's power. From a prisoner, from an obscure background to now the most powerful man in Egypt, more powerful than Pharaoh himself. And guess what? In verse 46, it says, he was only 30 years old. For those of you who are 30 years old, you should be growing fast and mature. And you know how this kid got mature? He allowed the shaking of God in his life. Every time you escape that, this moment is a great opportunity for you to learn, to become like this man. Because you won't have the wherewithal to be the kind of person God meant you to be if you escape the shakings in your life. Now it says that Joseph went to Potiphar's friend, traveled throughout the land. Joseph collected all the food. Watch this. Where did he get this idea to collect all the food? He was a prisoner. In each city, he put the food growing in the fields, surrounding it. Brilliant ideas. The question is, where did he get that wisdom to plan and to execute? I'll tell you where. The favor of God combined with the fear of God combined with faith. And if we don't allow this opportunity to learn through the shakings of God, we won't have the wisdom of God, we won't have the fear of God, we won't have the faith we need in God. And every time we allow ourselves to be shaken by God, we learn not to trust in the favor of men, but the favor of God. We learn not to fear men, but to fear God. And most of all, we learn how to believe that God will come through again and again and again. When we've never been to the bad place, or we escaped that, or we just wasted that time and not learned our opportunities, we never grow up. Joseph grew up and became the man he was destined to be because he allowed the shaking and faced the facts of the shaking and lived through it. Verse 49 says, Joseph stored huge quantities of grain. That's a lot. He stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. I mean, the brilliance of this guy is, he started, some of you are probably saying, Pastor, it's too late. I mean, there's already a virus. I should have stored more toilet paper, amen? Some of you should have done that, and you didn't. Last night, I was online. I was with our Chinese leaders, 10 different cities of our churches. And there were about 869 people, probably 1,000, 2,000 people listening. And there were questions because you and I, some of you are in a lockdown for a few days. These guys have been in a lockdown for a month. And I'm not just talking about a lockdown, a serious lockdown in China. And to their benefit, actually, the virus is waning there because of the lockdown. And there was a lot of questions. I don't remember all of them. But one of the potential questions in the minds of the people, how can we store like Joseph when we can't even go out of our homes? Good question. You know why? Because maybe for you, it's not the time to do this, but this is the time to learn to be shaken. This is the time for you to let go of the things that you're holding on to. Maybe that's the lesson for you. And not the storage, so that the next time a virus like this, or potentially a virus that will hit the entire internet world hits, you will be ready to face it. Because if you don't know how to face these kinds of problems now, you're going to have a serious problem when some of the real problems come near your home. That's the lesson here. Genesis 41 verse 50 says, before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asena, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. It says he named the firstborn Manasseh because it was God who made me forget. This idea of forgetting. Think about it. You're firstborn and you name him Forget. Okay? And you know why? Because he was in so much pain. You think about it. Your brother sold you. You went to jail. The Bible says Joseph was handsome. There's no telling how many times this boy was raped in that prison cell. Can you imagine the bitterness of going through all that? He wants to forget all that nonsense. The 7 years of abundance came and ended. And the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph has said. And by the way, this is not the last time something like this is going to happen. This is a moment for you to learn that when moments like this happen, meditate on the word. When this virus happened, the first thing I heard from God was Hebrews 12. That's literally the first thing, because I know this Bible. And that's the first thing the Holy Spirit told me. I'm shaking what can be shaken so that what cannot be shaken will remain. And Joey, some people are not going to learn again. And you know what? The promise is he'll do it again until you learn. So my message to you is learn now, because it's going to happen again. That's his promise. Once more, I will shake what can be shaken until what cannot be shaken will remain, until you learn the lesson so well that you can no longer be shaken. Now notice where it says all the world came to Egypt. By the way, this is all the world. Because the famine, think about this, this is so prophetic that the famine is kind of like this virus. It's affecting everybody. I'm getting messages from people who are saying there's no food. There's no, even if we wanted food, we can't get anything. We can't even get toilet paper. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, this is his father now learning. For the first time, they're about to unite here. Here's what God's doing. Think about this. There's no chance for Joseph and Jacob to see each other ever again, but because of this famine. And by the way, when stuff like this happens, God is doing something. For those of you who are too bright for your own good and you think that this is just a virus, it is not. God is doing something. Not just for you, but a lot of other people like you. And Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt. It was a moment, it was a divine moment that he was now going to meet his son again over time. I've heard that there was grain, go down. Now watch this. They're going down to Egypt. This is a divine moment here. They're coming down to Egypt. Why? so that we may not live, so we may live, not die. In other words, this famine, this plague is actually saving their entire family. And for some of you, your relationships are being saved. For some of you, your friendships, your marriages, you're probably now in a house by yourselves with your wife, hello, which you should have been there for the longest time. Some of you, it's probably your health and you're just resting. But there's different people and different situations that God does. Pharaoh, Egypt, Jacob, his brothers, God's dealing with different people in different ways during a shaking. The important thing is to learn. It was the final shaking. Final shaking of Joseph came in chapter 42, verse 5. Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for the famine in the land forced them to. And notice where it says in verse 7, it says, as soon as Joseph saw them, he recognized them. So think about this. This is 13 years later, and Joseph is now the most powerful man on the earth. Very wealthy. And his brothers who sold him, who has now the opportunity to do anything to them, he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him, and he pretends to be a stranger. You have to wonder why he's pretending. He's probably debating between chopping their heads or feeding them lunch. he's probably the bitterness is just starting to come up and barf up. And he spoke harshly to them, which speaks a lot about his sentiments and the emotions that he's feeling right now. Where'd you come from, he says. From the land of Canaan, they reply, we came here to buy food. And watch this. Verse 9 says he remembered his dreams about them. He was trying to forget. He was naming his son Forget, but the Lord's making him remember. Your hurts and your sufferings have to be dealt with. You can't just be having the favor of God, the fear of God, the faith of God. There are some things that are going to prevent you from stepping into destiny because of your very emotions. And sometimes in a situation like this, God is shaking you so that you can embrace what can happen. Your emotions are very, very shakable. If you haven't realized that yet, realize that today. I have been crying for the last 2 weeks for a baby. I've been crying privately because I don't want to cry on the air. I got to know that my emotions as important as they are can be shaken. And I have to stay focused. And God is shaking the emotions of this great leader because he was going to set in place something more important than just his emotions. And I don't mean not to be emotional. Emotions are important. That's the way you have empathy. But that is shakable. And if you allow that to be shaken, you might end up making the wrong decisions. You might end up hurting people or missing opportunities in your life. He says, you are spies. He's mad. You've come to see this land because he was being shaken. God is shaking. The final shaking is now beginning where God is making him remember what he wants to forget. Verse 19 says, if you're honest men, let one of your brothers stay in prison while the rest of you go and take the grain back to your starving household. But you must bring your young... He's now playing around with them. Bring your brother back here. And they proceeded to do so. And watch what happens in verse 21. They said to one another, surely we're being punished because of our brother. Now watch how shaking now moves, not just Joseph, but all of us are being shaken in different places. When stuff like this happens, learn your lessons. We saw how distressed he was. Some of you, you have employees and friends and people you should be helping. You can't even relate with them. He was blaming for their lives. Some of you, you don't want to listen. And this is your opportunity to listen now. Now that you're stuck in your house, learn how to pray and listen. And stop being so concerned about yourself. Reuben replied, this is Reuben, the oldest brother. This is the leader. Some of you leaders, listen to me. Didn't I tell you that the sin against this boy? He's regretting that he didn't lead at the moment. I have a question for you. What do you think God is doing in your life in this season? What is he really, really shaking? What is that emotional thing that you wish you forgot and God is reminding you so you can finally deal with it and not use it as a leverage to keep coming back to the same place? Verse 24, he turned away from them and began to weep. There's emotions right there. This is the most powerful man in the world. This is literally the most powerful man in the world, and he's crying because his emotions have gotten the best of him. When will you grow up? I love you. That's why I'm telling you this, because I went through this. Not once. Many times. But he came back and spoke to them again, and he had Simeon, his brother, taken before their eyes. I don't know what he wanted to do, but maybe that's the brother he didn't like. I don't know why, but that's the one he put in prison. Now, here's what happened. He sends them back. Jacob, his father, meets them and tells them, bring your brother back. And then you go back with your younger brother. The journey goes back, and Jacob refuses to send his son. The famine gets worse. 2 years into the famine, Jacob agrees to send Benjamin. This is a crazy story. They arrive and he throws this banquet for 11 brothers still hiding. They send him home with sacks loaded. And then halfway through, he has them arrested. He's playing with them. I don't know what he's doing. The Bible doesn't say. In my guess, he's wondering in his emotions what he's going to do. They brought him back to him and face him. And Judah, whose big idea was to sell him, stood up and said, and that's why the line of the tribe of Judah, that's where Jesus comes from, because this man stood up and said, put me in prison instead. Leadership rises in the worst situations. The best of ugly people come to their finest when we learn our lessons in bad times. That's why I call this the greatest opportunities come when the greatest obstacles happen. Joseph could no longer control himself. Think about this. You're the wealthiest, most successful guy in the world, and you can't control yourself. That is funny, isn't it? Because your emotions are a roller coaster. They're shakeable. Sorry. I'm trying to just... I think I'm talking to some of my own children here. Sorry. Before all his attendants are cried out, have everyone leave my presence. And when there's no one with Joseph, he made himself known to his brothers. And watch this. It's powerful right here. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him. One final gush of that emotion. And Pharaoh's household heard about it. Verse 3 says, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? He's finding out. I don't know how this whole thing sounded. But it's almost like he's tired. I'm Joseph, guys. And is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified of his presence. And watch this. And this is the whole point of why your emotions are being shaken. Why God shakes us. Here is the crux of the message of the story of Joseph in verse 4. Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they happened to do so, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, and the one you sold out of Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Because it was to save lives that God sent me here. Michael, there's a reason for suffering. I can't explain it all. But when you suffer at the present moment, There's a reason for it. And you may not know about this until 13 years later, like Joseph. But there's a reason for it, particularly when you embrace it and not become bitter and not your emotions take the better of you. And say, God, for years now there's been a famine in the land. In the next 5 years there will be no plowing. But God, I'm embracing your purposes. I'm forgetting all the hurts, all the things that happened to me. I'm forgetting that because I really don't care about that. All I care about is your purposes to save lives by a great deliverance. And I may not have seen that 13 years ago, but thank God I survived the shaking to get here. And from this point on, God, I will live for your purposes. Because you know what? You may have the favor of God. You know what? You may have no fear of man and fear of God, and you may have the faith to journey through this life. But you know, the sad part is, no matter how great your wings are and your fuel is, if you're headed in the wrong direction, it's a waste. If there's a lesson you want to learn in moments like this, is what is God's purpose for my life? And it's not just for you to be emotional and to assuage your emotions and get your feelings right. There's something bigger. Save lives. My 88-year-old mother, when I talked to her, I said, Mom, how are you doing? She said, I'm doing fine, Joey. She said, I had a neighbor. She's not even Christian. She keeps delivering me food. And you know who delivers food for her? God. And she said, you're not a Christian, so I'm sharing the gospel. Have you learned to live your life with God's purpose at heart? And God's purpose in your heart and your mind is about God's purposes and not just your own. Meditate on this word. Particularly you young people. If you're 17 years old, that's the age when Joseph's shaking started. You live in such a world that is so fixed that you don't even understand what it's going to look like when shaking happens, and you would not know how to deal with it. I love you. And I'm telling you the truth. That if you allow God to shake you right now, you will be able to face greater shakings in your personal life, in your future lives, in your families, in your nations. The situation that we're all faced is just beyond me right now, but I do want to encourage you as you go through this week. The whole world is suffering. I didn't mean to be strong today. I want us to take advantage of the moment and proclaim the goodness of God. People around us, Christians were at the foremost, the forefront of the bubonic plagues, the Cyprian plagues in Rome. It was Christians. It was the people of God, and they lived beyond their own selfish gains and emotions, success and Pharaoh. Some of you business people, this is not the time. This is the time. Some of you rich people, this is the time to be Joseph and open. All the stuff that you saved and give it. It's an opportunity. There are people in the front lines. There are people serving. There are doctors. There are nurses. There are people that need to be served. This is the proclamation. This is what it did. Don't. I'm not talking about token gifts. Some of you, this is the hour. This is the hour. This is what God is doing this for. And we should keep asking ourselves, what are you praying for? What are you really doing? What are you meditating? What are you believing God and His Word and learning from this series that we learned about Joseph? Do we really believe this thing? Or did we just hear another good message? How much of this do we seriously take and meditate on throughout the week? This is now, God's allowed this thing to be broadcasted and put on so you can listen to it over and over again to give you life. And remember, what has God done lately? Because He's doing something, and keep doing something. Lord be with you. His face shine upon you. He loves you. He cares about you. Remember the hand that holds up the universe. Don't let your problems overwhelm you. Let Him overwhelm you. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.